You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. This is your host, Parisha, and tonight with me is again my beautiful and intelligent co-host. We start with Michael Dillard up there in Montreal, Canada. And I hear things are getting pretty hot up there, Michael. And we have definitely a voice from Denver, and that would be Trina Cooper. We have someone talking to us all the way from Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, and that's Rosemary Heyer. We also have a couple of ladies from Down Under in Australia, and that would be Geraldine Dahl-Rival and definitely Marianne Love. We also have somebody very much more closer to me here in Arizona, and that would be Joyce. Yeah, I was getting ready to say something else, but we now have Joyce Mollenhauer with us. And so as we work through the day and where we're going to go tonight, we're going to do something different than what we usually do on our show. And that would be that we're going to complete the book Rogues tonight. We've been working with our book about 4 weeks now, and we're finding that a lot of the feedback is people that feel that they would like us to move a little faster. Well, we're here to accommodate your needs and definitely to please you and allow a wonderful evening for us all. So I've asked the co-host to read ahead and actually put together their own summation of whatever the book is and what they got out of it, especially the high points for them. The book has brought a lot of very various controversial feedback for me as far as picking up some of the particular websites and Facebook places that I go and check. And the way you've been responding to us is you're very excited about the book, but then you have a tremendous amount of criticism. So at this point, what we want to express is that we're happy with anything that you feel. We want you to share your stuff, and you don't have to apologize after you've expressed feelings of disagreement or whatever. And we're okay that you don't agree with our author. We're also very okay if you don't agree with either one of us. We're just very happy that you're with us and that you're sharing. That's the magic, the communication, the actual being up front in us, having the ability to show that distance does not measure any type of space between us, that in that particular moment, we are in the oneness of our own bubble. And that's called Quantum Leap Book Club. So when we're working today to do this, we expect that we will miss a lot of points that maybe some of you are having, because I understand that, especially with some of you who are following the Facebook out of Cottonwood, that you actually got communication to please read the book and finalize it yourself this week. Okay, so those of you who already have thoughts or changes that you want to see in that, we appreciate that. I'm going to answer to some of the particular feedback that I've been reading. Okay, we're not saying, we, meaning myself and the co-host, we're not saying this is what we believe. And we're not saying that we want to promote other people to actually take this serious and believe and expect all that was given in the book. We do hope that you read and with an open mind to understand that very much from the beginning of this book, the author actually made the point to say that all of this actually at the present time of her being in this experience, which is 20 years back, right, that this is how it was then for her. And she explains over and over again that the little men constantly said at present, this would be where it goes, but allowing very much that as time unfolds, things change. And knowing that very much in the perceptive ability that one has, if you're looking to that, your intuition strong enough, you'll come to realize that as soon as anything from the imaginal, which means it has not come to reality or physical molecule level yet, okay, it's in a changeable state. So the very fact that a person would read this book, even if you read it when it was first published, whatever has been said has already happened. You have to get in deep into quantum physics to understand that if it has been written in the detail, if it has had its emotional attachment and everything, it's already had to happen. It isn't gonna, it is, and it has. So we hope that you take that into consideration if you feel we're promoting all of these disastrous things. No, we're not. We're actually saying that we agree with her that certain things happened in certain time periods to where she feels it synchronizes what she was receiving in communications with the little men. Okay. And that the little men were saying as well, that this is not necessarily how it will go now, because as we evolve and as we learn and as we understand what we're setting up, we have the ability to change it. So we're looking to the fact that if any part of this brought up any fear for you, we deeply apologize, because that is exactly not what we wanted. We wanted you to be able to see this and actually realize that in the world today and exactly where we are today, there are things that are obviously going through its own evolution process, but that we individually each will experience it in our own way. And in that, I mean, we will not necessarily undergo any particular part of whatever the book has described that the little men has said would unfold. You will determine the reality. We are in the process of actually evaluating the evolution of the world right now. And that as we see that, though some of the comments in the book states a lot of the political stuff that we're looking at, there is a definitely powerful current that's showing how now people who have sat very, very politely in the background thinking that everything's just continuing to run, we're all being called now to actually stand up and stand out to what it is that we really believe and what we want. Through the particular spiritual community's growth and through the various religions that have opened the door more to understanding the Bible through quantum level thinking and viewing, there is a big, big consciousness leap that has happened, and we're in the process of that. We're seeing significant evidence coming from the universe, recently seeing and gathering information to where my calendars, which is very much based on what we would consider Mayan engineering and definitely Native and Indigenous thinking and understanding and teachings. So this made itself very available in the scientific field, and they understood there is a huge vibrational current that is actually coming from a very deep part of the universe to our planet, right on time, right on the schedule, which says we are each bringing forth the reality of what we individually have to offer to a world that we've all prayed for. So there is tremendous, wonderful things happening. Yes, there will be changes, but those changes do not have to be cataclysmic, nor do they have to be destructive in any way. We can come together in a thought, and we can hold that thought together. And in that moment, we can transfer and transpire a reality that we all want, which is one that says we no longer destroy each other because we disagree. We no longer allow money to be the very core of power, that we have learned and that we have come together. The beautiful thing now for me is when I travel about how openly friendly people have gotten. Usually sitting in airports or walking through very large areas of people, people's kind of just in their own shell, walking around, like bumping into each other, but never seeing each other. And it's like now to see people who acknowledge with a nod or smile back at you or a hand wave or whatever. And it's just wonderful. It's exciting. So people are seeing and people are learning. And in that, what you have seen in this book doesn't necessarily have a future. And that's what we want you to keep in mind. But we want you to understand what you've learned. I feel this author has challenged each and every one of you, the co-hosts as well, and myself, to actually look at ourselves and see what we're about. Where are we at? How much are we actually accepted as part of the decision of the outcome? Can we really say that we have maximized our own awareness? how much are we really very much ready to change ourselves? So all of this has come to a fantastic ending here when we complete our book, to actually know that it's brought us up another rung on the ladder of progress and growth that we're headed for. And so I look forward myself to actually hearing each one of the co-hosts describe their particular perception and their particular high points in what they've read in the book. After we've had our actual book reviews, we will come back, and I think that I would prefer a open discussion where we will actually discuss with you as well that the different aspects that we've had, the effects that maybe made us look at something different ourselves. So I'm going to start tonight with actually letting Mike Dallaire from Montreal start with his review, and then we'll go right down the line of co-hosts. All right. So, Mike, are you there?
I sure am. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I hear you great. That yellow plaid shirt you got on.
Oh, thank you so much. the wind in the background here is a little chilly.
So. Yeah, I see that too.
Well, thank you for stealing all of the things that I wanted to say, but I'll do my best to give you my perspective. As I finished the book and I looked back on the book, I kind of realized my perspective of it is it's a chronology of Penny's own inner transformation as she becomes more and more aware of the limitations of the reality that she's lived up until that point and that she embraced. And, you know, I don't think she was actually that special. I think she was at a point in her life when she was finally admitting to herself that she was very dissatisfied with things, and that acceptance kind of allowed her to open up and to tune into some of these, you know, a higher energy version of herself, however you want to say it. And the reflections and the questions that came through, in this case, these little men, had their source in that higher realm, I believe. And whether or not we believe she was actually visited by some advanced entities or not, I mean, at one point in the book, she makes reference to UFOs that she sees with some of her friends and kind of makes a loose connection between the little men and the UFO. But that's not really what's important. I think what's important and what makes it interesting is that we, as we go through the book with her, we recognize some of the battles that she must face with herself. And that's what makes it interesting. And every visitation that she had with these young men, coincided with a picture version, and it was dire predictions and all that kind of stuff. But it was nothing we haven't heard before. You know, it was kind of like the highlights of all the prophecies that you've ever heard that were kind of dire. But behind each of those visions, what I really noticed was there was a teaching. And again, many of the things that were taught were familiar, but for her, it was her aha moment. Aha, it's coming through. And she got exposed to it. It sunk in. It took a while. And, you know, these were all things that have been taught for years. And, you know, I'm not sure how it happened, but I think without any doubt, the recommendations that she puts forth in the book make a lot of sense. I mean, learn to be self-sufficient, to distinguish between what you really need and what's a luxury, rebuild your relationship with the earth, with nature, start treating all life like a living conscious being they are, cooperate with each other. You know, there's some really good explanations of energy and frequencies and how the reality in this dimension comes into existence. Again, stressing that we create the reality we live. And it's a really kind of the teaching is great. And Penny's recounting of her experience to me is how she's created the conditions that she needed to steer herself toward the transformation and the expansion she was seeking. But it's a wonderful journey. And along the way, she makes suggestions and suggests questions that we can ask ourselves. She even, in the course of the story, explains how she actually starts to live a lot of these things, living more off the land, being more self-sufficient, putting together a group that cooperates and helps each other. So it's very, very interesting. And as grandmother said, it leaves us a lot of questions that if we're really honest with ourselves, we should try to answer. And there's a lot of really legitimate reflective questions. So that's kind of what I took away from it, was a lot of things to kind of let still filter through. And I think that after you read a book like this, the stuff kind of sits there for a while and germinates. So that's kind of how I felt about the book.
Okay. I would like the co-host to focus, and I appreciate what you shared, Mike, but I would like you to actually focus on particular parts in the book that you felt very impactful and what you were reading, and help maybe just pass along what your thoughts were on that. But remember, our discussion and evaluation of this is going to happen after the reviews, okay? So you want to move forward with that? Let's start with Trina.
So in this book, it's really a story about Penny, who has these visits from these seven little men, and they show her the pictures of all of future potentials, but not realities. And she's really challenged by all of these. And what they do, though, is they challenge her, and she grows as a more conscious being as she does her own work with everything that's shown through this. And she really wrestles in a lot of these chapters. She wrestles through it. And she finds at the end that she actually creates her life much more in alignment with a greater good, with a more sustaining way of living. And some of the highlights that really jumped out for me, one was in chapter 2, which was the earth as a living being. And there was a point in there where they said that the first thing you should understand is that the earth is a living being and capable of healing itself. And the points that were made was that there was an electromagnetic and other wave forces that move through the universe, move through the galaxy, and they have an impact with the actual electromagnetic waves that are given off by the earth, and that human beings are actually affected by these as well. And human beings can either aggravate the situations, or they can help make things better. But one of the passages, they said, at least you should be aware, and at best your lifestyle could be more fluid. So they were inviting people to kind of take a look at their lives and what they really wanted to, what was going on, kind of broaden the perspective a little bit. Another one that really hit me, and I think was in chapter 8, the highlight in chapter 8, which again was talking about the electromagnetic pockets in air, the negative and positive charges on these, and that the earth had these as well, and that they interact with each other, and that the wind is a result of the interplay of these things. Trees and vegetations have impact on what happens with these winds, and the trees are actually intelligent. The vegetation is intelligent, and that it can hold and release the air pockets. It can call in moisture, and the absence of this has a huge impact on the world. So there really is a delicate balance with the earth and with us as human beings. And she's shown ways of living, new ways of living in communities where there's a central house and sleeping quarters and businesses, small businesses in these families. And the families are described as not just blood families, but maybe adoptive, maybe friends, and that food is grown and shared, and they're really sustainable communities. Health is even monitored there, and people are cared for, that there's conscious choice in birth, and natural birth control can be used, and that the raising of children is an important, important aspect. And then in chapter 15, when they talked about food and molecules and medicine, there was a question in there that they asked, is a corn plant still a corn plant if there's no human to celebrate and eat its gift of corn? And the answer was no, that the intelligence that is corn has no need to become a corn plant that will nourish human life except in response to the need of the human to have something to eat. And they went on to talk about how we're all part of this oneness, and that we take care of each other's needs, and that's our purpose. And then finally, there was chemicals. They talked about the chemicals, the medicines, and that these did not work to nurture and nourish our bodies. And a lot of this had to do with nourishing bodies. And then on page 161, there was in 165, they talked about evolution, time and space and frequency bands. So everything you hear and feel on Earth, from the human, the stars, the galaxies, are constructed using frequencies. And that space is just full of these. And these interact with each other. And that the task of the human life is to explore the possibilities and the limitations of these frequencies. So they encouraged to experiment with them in new and creative ways, and actually said in the book, the choice is to align with either destruction or to align with life-extending and life-sustaining ways. And that adjustments have to be made to shift into frequencies that remove certain limitations and allow for that expansion. So she really took in some of this over the time. And even though 10 years had gone by and she hadn't heard from them, the impact of what she heard made an impact on her life. And as she extended herself and grew over time and moved into higher consciousness and higher awareness, she made a lot more life-sustaining choices. And I think that's one of the things that this book brought through.
It's wonderful. You did a fantastic job there, Trina. That was great. Okay, we're going to let Rosemarie Heyer in Germany actually give her a review on that. Rosemarie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful.
So there's just what was for me exciting about the book was that some of the descriptions of the way they might live, and it wasn't about if this is true or not, it was just an inspiration for me. And many of the things seem to be like familiar, and even so I haven't read it in any book like that, but it felt like, yes, 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 yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea, that kind of thing. So it started with the children, of course, which is one of my passions. And the idea that we are actually putting the children into public institutions very early. And I remember even in my own life, I've been in kindergarten and everywhere, but not at home, and that they are not experiencing the adult life and learning from that, and that we are taking them away. That really struck me even more than I ever did before. And then the other idea about childbirth, that they're actually, and that was a big point for me in the book, there's many pages where they are emphasizing how important it is, and they even call it the higher law, how important it is that the humans develop in their personal development, that they develop their psychic abilities, that they develop what they want to really do, that they're looking at their purpose in life. And they even said that childbirth or having a child needs to be weighed against the need of the woman to maybe rather focus on her human development. So human development, how they called it, or evolving and learning, even they're expressing the psychic abilities we all have and which have been stifled by childhood and science and all the brainwashing and all the situations and the structures we live in, that has been really an important point. And the other thing which inspired me, and Trina mentioned some of that, is the extended family. And I felt like, yeah, that sounds right. Extended families from numbers from 22,000 who take care of each other and have a main house. And I remember I envisioned one time a main house like that, where you can actually expand yourself, grow, communicate, play with arts, music. And I think there was a lot of things I liked. Also, that was really interesting that they kept constantly repeating that there's a large global network. And my sense was, so that's probably the internet and even more, which seemed to be still connecting all the humans which were left over after some greater purchase. And the other thing I found interesting that they were talking about the objective and the subjective way of living. And they're saying that the objective way of living would have been to really hands-on doing things, like the way we have been mostly doing things, so to speak. And they said that science really focus only on that. We discovered that a lot when we were doing Dr. Wolf's work, and that they are stifling our development. And now the phase must be to go into a subjective way of living, which I understand is the imaginal realm, which we learned, and focus on the inner development of ourselves and focus on our vision. And if we don't do that, we will actually die. We will actually destruct ourselves. And I remember that one time, I think it was you, grandmother, who said, if people don't have a vision, they perish. And they focused on quite a long time on that, explaining that we are need to move into the imaginal realm. And at the end of the book, I thought it was interesting, which inspired me too, was that she was asking her classes how they feel about all this. And they all agreed, yes, things need to change, definitely. But when it came to that, she said, well, what are you doing about it? Will you raise your consciousness? Will you take, which means, will you take responsibility? Everybody shied away. And the main reason was that they were saying, well, I think they're expecting that someone tell them what to do. And I recently read another article where they're saying that it's not about the government or anyone telling us what to do. And that's what I got out of the book, and it's probably later in the discussion, but that we have to raise our consciousness and we have to start doing things. And I like to say that the book has been very inspiring for me just because of the many so-called ideas and models of living. And also it has been inspiring for me to see that it is really mainly about one thing, the evolvement or the evolving of us as humans, and that we are much, much, much more. They're also focusing on that. We are much more than what we think we are.
Okay, let's save our personal reflections to the end of the reviews. We're doing book reviews, okay? All right, let's move on. At this point, we're going to let Geraldine step in. Geraldine, could we have your review?
Yes, and interestingly, the part that did stand out too was chapter 13 is a section in children, and it starts, the tragedy of this age is that young humans are sent away from their family to sit uselessly in schools, et cetera, about creativity and involvement. And that sort of then springboards for the later chapters where we realize a lot of information is provided to us and modeled in school. And it moves then also in chapter 13, actually into chapter 14, about sexual experiences. And an interesting take that I hadn't read before was how she says that what was shared with her from the little men was that a sexual experience was a health mechanism designed to refresh the entire energy field that made up the human body. And as she said, it rattled the cage of her assumptions, because being brought up in a more religious strain, that around the sexuality there was guilt and that it was a sin and that sort of thing. So that was interesting to see, you know, another different perspective there, which then moved into this section that she's saying, okay, now chapter 15, food, molecules and their medicine. And here we really hear about the food and that lovely example that was shared about the corn. And the corn, it's this interrelationship between the plants, the animals and the people. Not so much as something serving, but the plants themselves being actively aware of the people's needs and the animals' needs. And then into chapter 16, where we're looking at evolution, time, space, frequency bands, as Michael mentioned as well, you know, a lot of this has great information about what would be seen as potentially quantum physics today. That influence of frequencies, whether they be sound, whether it be what the plants emanate, how it brings the wind. And in this one as well, there's information on the brain and memory. And this is one that really stood out, that this is in chapter 16, which is evolution, time, space, and frequency bands. Memory is not as you usually think of it. There's no such thing as a location in the brain in which memory is stored, because the nature of time and space, all that has ever happened or ever will be, is happening at one time. And it goes on to show how to remember something. You're actually tuning your brains and your brain cells to the same frequency pattern that composed the original event. And in that case, you're displaying it and you can re-perceive it. So the book is actually full of these gems. So that was another one that was really there. And as we move through, because of understanding memory then, she took us into the information about how you can recreate yourself. Now, this is massive across the ages for anyone. It says, thus, you see the potential for recreating yourselves, even though most of you, this is the men talking, the little men, most of you put great energy into maintaining and defending the way you were yesterday or last year. You were meant to evolve, exclamation mark. So that chapter goes on to tell us how the brain and the body work and why we can be stuck sometimes, taking us to chapter 19, the personal future. And this is great because it asks questions that as you're reading, you ask yourself. But it does say that, you know, a lack of self-evaluation and escaping from responsibility reduces your inner authority. That was a big one too, because then the loss of inner authority allows others to step in and evaluate you, deciding what's good and bad and what to do and not to do. And that to wrap up my little covering here, it takes it towards the end of the book where our author is looking at the journey of her own life and how things that the little men had shown her, she then saw that even though originally she thought they would be impossible or completely not likely to happen, that actually that's what she was experiencing. These outfoldings of her as a teacher, as a writer, as a creator of spaces for people to get well and healthy. And some of those things were triggered through seemingly problematic moments like getting arthritis and then needing to go onto organic food and then needing to look into that and doing the homeopathy. So it lets us see that through the book, we're getting the information and being taken on that journey. And in reflection, some of the things that seemed pretty hardcore were stepping stones to that outcome.
Wonderful. Great review. Thank you very, very much. Okay, Joyce, can we get your book reviewed? Are you
I am.
All right.
One of the things that intrigued me in this book was she's very clear in describing that the little men arrived very cheerful, but that she, and I think this is partly what she's expressing through the book, is initially she's showing a lot of resistance. So she, at the beginning, she hides and pretends they're not there. And then it definitely evolves through the book as she starts to see that a lot of what they're saying makes sense to her. And it gives her a new direction. So there's some bleak experiences that they do touch on throughout the book. But what is most inspiring is that there's positive visions interacting, intermingling through it all to show that there's harmony and balance possible existing on our planet and already does in many levels. So a couple of the highlights that I really liked and the plant kingdom information has been touched on already, but what intrigued me was they talk about the fact that in the evolvement of humankind, the brightly colored flowers actually provided not only a visual delight to the early man, but had effects on emotion and feeling. So if one realizes that in our evolvement, feeling and emotion was something that has developed, not only did the parents help the early humans, they helped to recognize emotions and the change of behavior these emotions brought. So that was enlightening, because it is easy to take for granted that, yes, for all of us, flowers are a very cheerful part of our life. So that particular chapter is full of insightful comments on the value of plants, that for healing, which has already been touched on, as a food source, for the oxygen that's provided by trees. There's a lot of detail that's extremely interesting to read on page 151 and 152. Then the little men go on to discuss the impact of trillions of atoms and molecules from all life forms. And this has been touched on. I know that there's an interaction and an influence and an impact, but they go into some pretty good explanation about this. So the topic of chemical medications and the effect they produce is shown as such a contrast to the information that is shared on the importance of natural sources in healing. In chapter 16, the brain has been talked about a little bit here, but what highlights for me was that the brain works to create perception and to create access for memory. And there's good explanation that they give in the information. They touch on the value of balancing the objective and the subjective experiences, as Rosemary touched on. It is only, and this is a quotation, it is only by reaching into the deepest part of the subjective core for ideas and visions, and that's inside each one of us, then going back to express those visions in an objective way, that is a good balance of creative power can be maintained. So again, those two areas of subjective and objective, you could say maybe it's like a teeter-totter that comes to a full balance as they interact. And page 71, they suggest we get lost in what we individually experience by what we hear, see, feel, instead of ever asking somebody else what they might have experienced. So there's more comments on that I would like to share when we get to the personal.
All right, very good, very good. We're going to have Marianne Love. Marianne's in Melbourne, Australia. Marianne, you there?
I am here, thank you. Wonderful. So some interesting points from the book that I took home was how they described, the little men described how we're moving into more community living and how that will go from, say, nuclear families of five to potentially 2,000 to 2,000 people, and that will be more like pooling their resources and looking after each other's survival needs and potentially all creating small businesses and trading, homeschooling. And I really liked how they spoke later in the book about bringing in a conscious soul and actually spending time meditation and preparing to invite a soul into a family unit and then nurturing that soul all the way through the life cycle. I love the way when they point out these little pearls of wisdom of consciousness. And another one was on page 132, they spoke about how Christ gave the tool for self-development and the wisdom to nurture your own inner authority. And so one of those pearls of wisdom was that you need to believe in yourself, and whatever is true for you, you must honor. So we can't override somebody else's free will. So if you don't believe in it and you don't want it, then you really mustn't go against yourself and go against your own free will, that we're our own master creators. And another thing they spoke about on page 133 was that if we can develop our inherent ability to see and hear and feel in all directions, like past, present, and future, so this is going beyond just being a little bit intuitive, that in being able to expand that awareness, we'll be able to accelerate change across the planet, like 1,000, they didn't say 1,000-fold, but we'll be able to accelerate change across the planet in a huge way. So I think all the way through the book is these really powerful pearls that we could apply.
I agree. And I think it's beautiful. And I appreciate how you all have definitely given our listeners places to go in the book to actually follow or go back to and study more of what your points were, why they were high points in the book for you. And we hope they move along with that and study with that. There definitely is a tremendous amount of number. I would say better than 80% of the people who were communicating with me, which went in way in great numbers that I wasn't expecting, have actually said what the outcome effect was on them. So I was happy to see that many people didn't dwell on the fear of possible predictions, but actually to see the suggestions and follow this very, very powerful woman's suggestion on how to move into a world of our own set sense of security. And I definitely want to make note and have people that did not get the book to please understand the importance of reading the book individually for yourself. Make sure you don't take the fear of the predictions, but take the strength and the clarity of what it is to live our life in the time that we have in a very productive, happy, and creative way. Okay, Penny Kelly actually has done a lot in this world from the time these little men stepped into her life. She's actually developed a community. And one of the things that she does is that she teaches an annual class in developing and using intuition, organic and gardening, and getting well again naturally. She does a great work with that, but she also has gotten various in depths of education for herself. If you remember and actually see the character that she starts out to be and the enormous turbulence in her life to where she actually then moves on and gets a degree in humanistic studies from Wayne State University. And she gets a degree in neuropathic medicine from Clayton College of Natural Health and is currently working toward her PhD. And at this point in time, she already has that of American Holistic College of Nutrition. So her and her husband has definitely developed a community and a possible place of great learning called the Elves. I'm sorry about that. Lily Hill Farm and Learning Center in the southwest corner of Michigan. So I really hope you follow through. And absolutely, this is only one in a series of three books that Penny has wrote. So I feel that she offers you a tremendous, valuable way to track yourself into looking at the times we're in. Surely this information can be very, very helpful in our time, knowing that our particular time period offers us the way to actually clear great leadership and to resolve the very corruption that can happen from powerful amounts of money and people very narcissistic and egotistical and power be in the particular pursuit. So we're all being challenged with that. And these aren't particular things that actually would be measured in earth turbulence or earth changes, but definitely humanity's evolution. And so if we focus on that, we don't have to worry about the rest. And I'm very happy that we actually were asked to review this book by a very loving person that I know. And I feel this book has actually brought about an impact for us that was long time coming. So let's go back, co-host, now and actually determine, and I'm going to let you decide who's going to talk. I'm not going to give you a roster here. But if you have some particular experiences that have now made you reevaluate your life and looking at some things you want to do. So if you've had any impact like that and things that you're now pursuing and moving into, we would like to hear about that. I know that for myself, I have gotten, not so much that I'm making a change, I'm going back to reinforcing some things that I've drifted away from. And that definitely is the power, the love, and the growth that happens in community living. And how we can have community living without going into some different area and joining a group or anything. Community is right next door to you, right across the street, right behind you. And to actually get more, I've taught for years very successfully how to help communities grow together and how to complement each resident in the community. And I'm seeing now how, especially with the division that politics and definitely what's going on across the world with COVID actually can definitely grow and use this time for a quantum leap into consciousness. So that would be what I take from this. Anybody else want to share any of your particular impacts?
Yeah, this is Marianne again. I think one of the things I really got out of it, and I think it was partly your teaching, grandmother, about it, was that when I was reading the book, it was a little bit like watching the news. You can get really caught up in the drama of all of that emotionally. And in it was amazing pearls of wisdom. And I just decided to put my attention on the wisdom rather than the drama. And, you know, just withdraw from a lot of that and just begin to meditate more on what I'm creating and what I appreciate and what I'm going towards rather than I'm coming from or what the illusion is around me.
That's really good. And the other part of that is to, in our particular present time situation, you know, think of that, not just what you did with the book, but what are you doing with your life? You can hear all kinds of stuff. And so it's all of it's filled with drama and all of it's filled and laced with fear. But how are you living and how much of you and how are you taking that? Instead of complaining and making wrong of it, and this is not me saying it's right, it's just me saying if that's where you go with it, you're feeding it. Learn and know what you know from the studies of quantum. Okay, so you don't want to feed it. So you don't focus on it. You're wise and want to know, yes. And if you find yourself getting all emotional about what you're reading, you stay back from it real fast. And you put yourself to the task of actually doing what you want or what you want it to be, not what people are doing. So that's a good thought. And yeah, I agree with you. Okay, we got anyone else?
This is Joyce. Yes, yeah. I love the reference that she made that Atlantis, there was a legend, supposedly, is how she put it, that Atlantis existed with great wisdom, power, and extraordinary technologies. Well, where I took that was I can envision a legend, and she touches on this at the end of her information there, that can develop up in the universe about a small planet named Earth that can produce powerful, loving beings. And what an incredible vision for all of us to hold strongly, whatever one's belief is about Atlantis. This is a great vision to have. So I see that the world can recognize our connection to each other and become what Atlantis represents to many.
Okay, real good. Anyone else?
Thank you. This is Rosemary. Well, one thing which touched me was, and I want to explore that more, was that in chapter 19, they are reflecting to her what her parents and her family did for her so that she could become who she became, so to speak. And they used the words, your father agreed to demonstrate and your mother agreed to demonstrate in the context that which I already knew and which I fully accept that the parents have been chosen and that they are there to enhance the child in they agreed before the birth to enhance the child. And then I thought, well, what have my parents agreed to demonstrate? And also, what kind of decisions that goes on in that chapter where they're reflecting her decisions about her work and what she decided in her life? What kind of decisions have I made and what crossroads did I go? And where is the purpose and the red line, so to speak? And what have my parents demonstrated in a positive way or even my ancestors? And that is something I want to explore more. And then what also was standing out for me is that I want to continue, and I have always done that in the last year, and since quite a while actually, to explore the pioneers, the new ideas. And that is where I'm focusing on or relating to Marianne, that shut up the news and just more looking at what is out there new. What are the new ideas for our future, the way of living, the way of growing food? And I really got into the growing food ideas, and I'm looking seriously at some of the many projects in Germany where people grow food in cities and close by in urban gardening and market gardening and so on. And also the topic of the children, to look at that more. What can I still do, you know, to support the children in all this?
Okay, very, very good. So Trina, you wanted to share?
Yes, I found this question this book kept coming back to the questions, and they're questions that have been running through my mind for a while. And then very conveniently, she kind of laid them all out on pages 250 and 251, asking, and I just think those are wonderful questions to make you really think about your lifestyle. But what it brought me to think about were, you know, what's the possibilities and what can we do as people, even in our own cities, to change the way our cities are? Just looking for a place to hold an event in some towns, you can't find a gathering place. You can't, you know, there aren't open areas. And what if we jumped into city planning departments and started talking to them about potentials and possibilities of creating that community? And one of the things she said in here too was, I just simply refused to pay for the boxes and the wrappers that food came in, and didn't want to spend her money that way. And I went, wow, I had never thought about that before. And that was really a need driven thing for her. So where do we take some of these ideas, and where can we step in and create? It's just got my head kind of going in different directions, and I just keep going back to that. You have a choice to align with destruction or to align with life extending and life sustaining. And so what does that look like? And doing a review in both my life and my business is something I really want to take a look at.
That's real good. Very, very good. In that also suggests, especially the part of the containers and stuff, when we look at how bad the trash issue is growing and how the dump yards and how much pollution goes on in trying to just deal with our waste, what we throw away, you know, it's such a refreshing thought. And I've already gone into a few places, like especially some of the places that cater a little bit more to what I would call the natural food chain. And I've watched people come in and they have bags, like they're plastic, or they look more like maybe plastic or cloth. And they bring in Ziploc bags, different kind of bags, and they're filling that and weighing it and bringing it to the cash register. And a couple of times, because I've seen some unique packaging, and I've asked people, and you do that for what reason? And they said to protect the trees, to actually stop the dumps being overfilled, you know, destroying and creating trash instead of just value. They all have that. And I ask them, so what group do you belong to? And I would say most of them, better than 60% of them, this is just a homekeeper, a homemaker, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, how often am I aware when I buy a bottle of water, you know? And then I look at that person that's running around with their own bottle, you know, their own container for the just drink water. And I thought, okay, you need to come back and take a look at that, because you definitely are one of the ones that's always preaching about the, you know, we're dumping and stuff. And then so it's actually brought me to make sure I bring my bottle of water instead of buying bottles of water. So it's those things that actually I'm looking for, the actual sharing that people will have after this show of what they have determined to change because of what they know they can actually be of benefit with. And I'm so glad that a lot of these things, as you said, Trina, come back to make you think, you know, that in your own heart of hearts, you desire that. That gets you excited. So I'm very happy you shared that. And I expect that all of you will get into something and make some definite use of this. So do we have anyone else who wants to share in these last few minutes?
Grandmother, I'll share something.
Okay.
There was one of the things that hit me in this book that is a little different was all of the talk that she did about frequencies. And I was just so intrigued by it. And she started in page 157 when the little men told her, you need to start thinking about learning about frequencies because they can basically cure any life-threatening disease. That's how they got her attention. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then what they said, and this really hit me, like, okay, how come I've never thought of this before? But on page 160, she says, 167, she says, people generally do not have a clear idea how the brain works to create perception or memory. Your brain is a collection of nerve cells. So yeah, okay, so we all know that. But she says, each cell is attached to a frequency receptor. Now, I've always seen chemical receptors in all of the, you know, diagrams and studies that I've seen. I never really heard about frequency receptors before. And then she goes on to explain how each cell can communicate, and each one is like this antenna out in this ocean of different stuff going by. And it's just the whole thing on frequency just intrigued me. I thought it was really, really neat because it kind of came from a different angle. So
what were the pages that were
Well, on 157 was where they first tell her to start, you know, thinking about learning something about frequencies. But then you get on 163, 167, 169, that whole section, there's a lot of talk about frequencies. And they say what you experience as perception is really the act of tuning into a familiar pattern that exists in the ocean of frequencies that surround you. I mean, that's just so picturesque to me, you know?
Yeah, very, very good. Okay, Geraldine, we haven't heard from you yet.
Chapter 19 has a key part that helped me reflect on a lot of things. And some of the things I looked at and I'm changing is when it says, when I do any of this, I've noticed that when I go looking backwards, which is what she does in the book as well, looking at how things were, I've realized that I use that sometimes as an example to show myself either how I'm not doing enough or how my priorities are out of balance. And instead, I can flip that to ask the new question. And in doing so, what I looked at, instead of saying, oh, I do too much work, I realized that when I take on work, I'm answering people's requests for assistance in an area that I have information and helps have an environmental outcome. So instead of saying, I need to do less work, because that obviously hasn't brought about outcomes because I've done this for years, I've shifted it and gone, well, actually, some focus needs to go more on training others so that there's more people available to assist, and also increased appreciation for the mentors that I've had and those who've shared about environmental rehabilitation. And there was a line in the book that the little men were asking her, why teach one when you can teach a class? And that was something as well, that reading that, it was like, you feel something. And realizing that for me, the things that I don't like in my day are when I've had agreements to keep, like this report will be in or that will be in, and I don't get it on that particular time because I've said yes to too many projects. And then I've reflected and gone, well, what are the times I love? And I love those times and spaces of standing outside, looking at the moon, looking at the sun, feeling the wind, have those focused intention times and feeling the vibrations through the body. And then what came as well was a little paragraph that's in there is this is in chapter 19. The brain's job is to help the human body respond appropriately to the ocean of frequencies it lives in and to be a tool by which you explore those frequencies and the possibilities within them. And to do so is literally to explore the possibilities of the self. The process is meant to be shared with others in a way that you used to share them as a child, saying, wow, look what I found. And that really brought it to me as something to do more of, is to create times and spaces to feel the frequencies and to say, hey, and that might be with nature, it might be with community. And a part of that self-reflection as well was to go back and do the runes. I always found that very powerful. So back to that as well.
That's really great. Do you have a full moon behind you?
Yes, that was last night.
Yes, that's fantastic.
On the balcony.
Tonight is full moon here. It's very good. So yeah, I kept seeing that shine behind you. Perfect, absolutely perfect backdrop. Thank you for that.
Photo. Yeah.
I like how we're ending this on the fact of the definitely foundation of my teaching and most of our lives together is everyone is a teacher. Every one of us has a different code, a different fingerprint, has an individuality that no one will ever have the benefit of unless we share it. And that comes through teaching, that we all have something to give to another. because we don't have it. And that's what builds community. Communication builds community. We begin to share. We begin to see the likeness, not so much a difference as a common ground that can come when all the pieces fit because we put each of our differences together. And that's the actual what's happening in our world and has been happening at the time that Penny wrote this book and that actually the books and books and books that we read and consume. Is right now you're writing your own book. Right now, there's so much that you can say from an experience that I wasn't there. You weren't there. Other people weren't there. There was just moments with you with yourself. And that you have things in that you communicated to yourself. And that begins to create the teaching that you are. Every one of us is a book. Every one of us is a message. And until that begins to be widespread and in the open and then available, that's when we begin to actually know the commonality that we have in our differences. And that will bring peace. That will bring a better and a more beautiful world. And in that, we need never have fear. Never have fear that it is love that resolves in the heart of all evolution. And in that, it always delivers us to the highest level of intelligence and ability to conceive creation and create. So I thank all of you, especially my co-hosts, for bearing with me and getting this book all together. And for all of the listeners and all of you beloveds who will come back and respond with your messages and your feedback. Know that it's always with you that we come each week to this program and to this show. We are very grateful for our network and for our producer, who is Jules, and that without that radio, without the LOA radio network, we would not be able to communicate and share this with you. We want all of you to know you matter. It doesn't matter that we can't see you or that you're not right here in the room with us. What matters is we feel you, we see you, we are you, each of us reflecting each other. Have a wonderful week. Use some of this and actually begin to share with us what you have seen and what you've done. You're very important. You matter and you make a difference. Have a great week. See you next week. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.